Hi, and welcome to the Webster University Geneva podcast. I'm Juliana Santon-Bark. Just over a year ago, I launched Meet the Artist, a public lecture series, an event where visual artists are invited to talk about their work and their creative process. To learn more about our program of lectures, please visit the link wcci.webster.ch/events/meet_the_artist. Today, I am here with Angela McFall. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, hi, bonjour.
So I'm here in class with the students from Current Art. We all have lots of questions for you.
Okay.
We're very excited. And my first question is, how much do you work in the studio versus outdoor location?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess when I travel, I'm always looking at everything, and I'm really annoying. I'll stop everyone because I have to photograph everything or make a video. So I tend to take everything in, and then I have my sketchbook with me a lot. So I sometimes will have to sit and sketch for a moment. But generally, I would say the ideas and all of the input is when I'm walking around, and then in the studio, it all kind of comes into focus. So I would have to say the studio is the much, I'd say, smaller part, because it's kind of this continuous looking at everything and being everywhere. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. So do you identify the choice of colors in your paintings to be symbolic? And what do you think about symbolism in art?
Good question. I think yes. If we look at some of the more colorful paintings, I think life in the present moment, it's got so much detail, there's so much happening. So the brighter colors in my work represent the present and what's happening now, and the cooler colors kind of represent a fading into the past or a moving away from the present. So that's a really good question. And in general, symbolism in art, I think most art is symbolic, because it could seem quite simple, but perhaps for the artist it represents something or it has a deeper meaning. So I think, yeah, there's a lot in art with symbolism that can go pretty deep. In my work, the color is kind of color and light that happen together. So I think it's pretty important for me. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello. So you mentioned about traveling, and I was just curious, how does traveling change your creative process?
Good question. I think it changes it in quite a lot of different ways, because I think when you are in front of a different culture, there's so much that's new. There's so much in terms of sound, in terms of music, in terms of people and how society moves in each different culture. So I think traveling on the sort of first level, it's fascinating just to see a different culture, because we kind of walk around in a place and we get really used to that place, and then you arrive in a whole different culture and everything's new. So I kind of like to be surprised, and so I think for me that sense of being able to travel and to see the different and the differences is really important. And in art, I guess it can give you all kinds of inspiration and just change how you see the world. So for me, I think it kind of removes me from the everyday, and it takes me into a different zone. Like if you look at the paintings behind you, they don't really look perhaps like anything, but to me, like, I see a whole place there. So mm-hmm. I think it changes how we see. But that's a good question. Thanks.
Thank you.
So I'd like to tell you that I'm very interested in the Japanese culture. So mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, if living there with the architecture and the way of life, did that change maybe your perspective in art or inspire you in a sort of way?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Japan is such an interesting place. It's not even a country, it's like a whole different planet. It has such a different energy from anywhere else I've ever been. And it's beautiful. I love Japan. And I think that Tokyo, it was mostly the neon lights. Everywhere you go, everything is just, it's turned on, it's turned up, and it's 24 hours, and it's almost like a city on overdrive. So I think that I had never encountered anything like that before. So for me, it just, and it hasn't left me. I've been in Switzerland like for 15 years, and I still can picture walking in Tokyo in the rain with towers of lights on either side. So I think, yep, it's definitely the neon lights that kind of rest in my my memory, but just everything. It's an incredible place. And I think also to be so lost, like you can't read, you can't ask a question. So you end up in a place where everything's happening at once, but you can't really access any of it because you can't ask anyone a question. So you have this really strange experience of being in the middle of something that's so dynamic and alive and being so incredibly like you can't express any of it to anyone. So it's fascinating. But yeah, that's what I think. I think in my work it left its traces in the light. So yeah.
Thank you for your feedback.
Do you mind elaborating and talking more about why your paintings are split into two paintings?
Ah, good. Yeah, so I think because I was born in Northern Ireland, grew up in Canada, and I've lived in so many cultures, I think I feel a little fragmented because I think you could sort of drop me in the middle of anywhere and I would figure it out, you know? So I think that I really love just the human journey. So I think the fragmentation, the parts in my paintings, it kind of has a part to do with me that I do have so many different places that I kind of have lived in, and they all sort of leave a mark or leave kind of their own history. So I think what's interesting in my studio, when I put them all together, they become almost like a mosaic of my life. So there are all these different moments, but weirdly, they all fit together. So I think that could be it. Does okay. that explain it?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can ask all of them at once. Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You talked about you have a connection between music and your artwork. Can
yes.
you explain me better how the music influenced your art or your art influenced your music?
Sorry, Derek. There's a plane. Could you restart? Just because.
Sure.
There might be a difference from
all right. So you talked about that music. Can you explain me better the connection between music and your art and how one develops another?
Okay, yeah, that's a really good question. So I think when you're on stage and you're singing, everything is happening in this moment. But unless someone records it or unless something is sort of recorded, it disappears and it's gone. And so at one point, I love that because it kind of, it's really exciting, but it also sort of makes me sad because the minute you stop singing or the song is over, it's gone. And so I think it just is what I love even more about painting is that you make a mark, you make a color, and it's going to stay there for hundreds of years, and it's not going to disappear, and it's not going to change. So I like the contrast between the thing that's moving and changing really quickly in the music and the thing that just stays, and it's going to stay like that. So does that answer it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question. Thanks.
I have a follow-up.
Okay. Yes.
I'm
ready.
And then Adeline can
give us her grand finale. So you just said, to follow up on that question on music and the visual arts and how they relate, do you record your music and then would you say that the music is an equivalent to the visual arts more once you're recording a song?
Ah, that's a good question. I think, weirdly enough, I really like live music and I like singing live. And the minute you go into the studio, everything's different. Everyone's a little bit nervous and everything's kind of, it loses that spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that maybe that's what I love is that moment on stage. There's no turning back. There's no saying no. There's no like, oh, I can't do this. It's just straight ahead without question. Mm-hmm. And then it starts and it finishes. And if someone has recorded it, it's kind of almost like a trace or a proof of the event. But it'll never be the same as that moment when you're in it and the people who are in the audience and sharing that moment. So I think that it's pretty intense because you get all of that at once, the sound and the whole moment. So yeah, so afterwards it changes.
So another follow-up question, because I can't stop now. Why have you considered doing performance art then?
I think I sort of do. I think that's it. I think when it all adds together, it kind of is there. Maybe I'm moving towards it. But weirdly enough, I like them in their, you know, the painting there and the performance there. Will they get together one day? That's a good question.
Like doing something more visual, you know, performative and visual.
Yeah. Well, right. There is a lot. Right now, there's a lot of people doing like sort of action painting and working with a DJ and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think when I paint, I kind of go really far away into another dimension. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I can put those together, but it might happen. So I'll keep you posted.
So you talked about people and places, the idea of them together. I was wondering about the 3D drawing that you do. How did that happen? How did you came across that new way of creating? And do you other creations, a part of architectural pieces with that 3D drawing, or do you do people as well?
Oh, that's a really good question. So how it came to be is that my partner is an electronic engineer from EPFL. So he is constantly bringing the 3D world to it. It's so wonderful. He kind of can build a 3D printer. He can build anything. It's just amazing. So he saw the 3D drawing pen and he was like, you need this. And so he brought it to me and I started using it. And I found that it was just so interesting that this thing that I had done, and I could travel and take a pencil and I could sit in the street and just draw and people will come up and go, hey, can I buy that? Or blah, blah. And sometimes I sell it or don't, but with a pencil and that's all that I have. And then when the 3D drawing pen came into my world, I was just like, oh, this is really interesting, because it becomes structural and architectural and physical, but yet it's a drawing. So there's something really interesting happening. And I've only just started working with it, so I think what's going to happen next could be pretty interesting. That was one question. Was there another one?
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Just to follow up on this one. You talked about transparency.
Yeah.
So with the 3D drawing only, am I right? I'm not sure. What do you feel about this transparency that you use?
So it's a material. So it's 3D drawing pen filament, and it's transparent. And I love it because it's there. It's so light. But when you shine light on it, the shadow becomes more present than the thing that you've drawn. So it has a really, for me, really interesting concept or idea, because I think it's always in my work, this idea that what's present, what's physical, may be there now, but it could change, it could disappear, it could get blown up, we don't know. So there's always for me this tension between the present and that thing changing. So the transparency is really interesting because it's present, but in the lightest, most subtle way. And I think what's going to happen with that one, I'll start working with shadows and movement with that. So almost like these architectural details that are almost going to be moving in space. So I haven't got there yet, but I think it's coming. Yeah. Those were good questions, by the way.
It's super intriguing, the 3D drawing.
Yeah, I wish I had brought more. I wish I had brought one to show you, but maybe next year you guys come to my studio in Montreux and you can visit and see it in real life.
Yep.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your studio. Is it open to the public? Where is it located? Just so that people know.
Well, it's great. You can't really see it from far, but that's just part of my studio. And it's in Montreux, and we're in an old factory. So there's about 10, 12 artists in this factory, and we all have our own studio space. And twice a year, we do an open house, and we'll have people come through, and it's really, really fun. But it's called the Tolan Art Factory, and it's in the old town of Montreux, in this old factory. And it's just wonderful. So we're going to start doing jam sessions, and the music and the art are going to overlap. So it's quite exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. So we'll be sure to visit soon.
You better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks guys. Yeah.